Okay, I'm going to invite everyone to return to their seats. We'll continue on. Thank you very much. Well done. I don't see Thomas here, but just a heads up that this little communion thing was made by Thomas, who's one of the grads from this place who came back this morning. He's about to walk in here now. But say thanks. He made this for us. So obviously he's got a picture of Jesus on the front there and Unity Baptist on the back. And thanks for your gift of love, Thomas. This was awesome. He made it specifically for communion, which was just really, really cool. Wonderful touch. So just makes this place feel even more like home, right? So thanks, brother. Just one announcement. There is a Hope Mission donor appreciation dinner this coming Friday night. They're hosting it at Impact Church. You have to get tickets in order to go. I know some of you are already going. I still have a few tickets left. And so if you would be interested in joining us for that, let me know and let me know today. And I will put your name on a couple of tickets that we've still got. I think I've got four with names that have not been assigned to them yet. So be great for you to join us. I know some of you are already going, so that's cool, and be a good time together. All right, let's pray. Lord, we welcome you into this particular activity, this particular time where we remind ourselves that first and foremost, we are a people who follow Jesus, and that in doing so, in following Jesus, we're to become people who seek to know who you are and what you are like. And we do that by studying what you have said and what you have done. I pray that in doing so, we would see your heart for your people. We would heed your warnings where there are warnings. We would receive your encouragement where there is encouragement that is needed and encouragement being given. And I pray that for the next leg of the journey, what we cover here this morning in looking to your word would be something that guides us, something that protects the good things that you are doing, and encourages us to move forward where you have called us forward, but we have maybe yet to take that next step of obedience. Lord, we want to be people who have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, and day by day walk in step with you, which means knowing you and living your word. Help us live it well today. Would you grant us understanding? Would you grant us illumination by the power of your Holy Spirit? Would you guide us into all truth here and now? I pray that there would be moments where there are ahas and something clicks. And we realize, I didn't put those pieces together. The Lord he's speaking. He's revealing. He's here. And he is the God who is for me, who takes up the cause of the black sheep. And Lord, having experienced that you have done so, would you now make us faithful in keeping in step with our good shepherd? In Jesus' name, amen. I'm no longer, but used to be quite a fan of the sitcom Seinfeld. The show kind of just makes me mad now. But anyway, I used to really enjoy it. And one of the episodes was just absolutely brilliant, the way that they laid out the episode. In this particular episode, they started at the end of the story and then continually did flashbacks and worked their way backwards to the beginning of the story. So as you watch the episode, you are watching from the end and going backwards to the beginning. And by starting at the end, it created a little bit of a mystery. So the show, the sitcom, takes place in New York City, but all of the characters are in India. And you're wondering, why are they in India? And one of the main characters, Elaine, I think she's holding like something over her nose. And apparently you find out that she'd gotten a nose ring. And then there's this whole question of why does she have a nose ring and why did it seem like it got ripped out, and just created questions that get answered as you move along and as you move backward in time through it. It's quite interesting. It's a very, very funny episode. At one point, Kramer, the goofball of the show, at the beginning of the episode, so the end of the story, you just see him like licking this long white stick, and you can't figure out like what is he doing. And then as it starts the flashback, you see, oh, that looks like maybe it's a candy. And then as it goes further back, you realize, oh, it's this giant lollipop that was like almost as big as his head, and it gets bigger as it moves backward through the show. So it's just a very interesting episode. But the whole point of it is to sort of, well, I mean, it was a show about nothing. There's no point to it. But the way that they tell this story creates this sort of, well, I want to see where this started. It creates a little bit of we need to work our way backwards to understand and to fit the pieces together. Well, in our scripture passage today, we're gonna look at that same sort of movement. In a sense, we're gonna start at the end of a particular story. And then, or at the end of a particular event. And then as the verses unfold, and it's three verses, it's sort of like the Seinfeld episode. It works back a step to see how did you get there? And then it works back one more step to see sort of where did this all start? And it's very much a warning, but there is going to be some encouragement here along with it. But I hope you sort of track where this is going. So I'm going to read it one verse at a time. Don't open your Bible. Don't follow ahead. I've got it up here on the screen. Open your Bible and meditate on it later on. I actually memorized these verses. They so caught me this past summer. And I'm still delving into them. So we're going to start here right at the beginning. The Ephraimite archers turned back on the day of battle. Bum, bum, bum. There's some foreboding there. That's not a good description. Ephraim was one of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And so the picture here is of Israel going to war. And of course, there are different sections of an army, right? You might have the cavalry, you might have the infantry, and then of course you've got the archers too, right? I didn't dig deeply into ancient Warcraft. Most of what I know about it comes from watching Lord of the Rings, to be really honest. But I'm sort of picturing, you know, the archers maybe up on the hills or on the wall of a city. And they're whether they're defending or attacking, there's an army coming against them in some way. And the picture here is of the archers saying, we're out. And archers play a really, really important role in an army because they're the people that essentially slow down the oncoming enemy because they can attack before the enemy can get to you, right? So when your archers abandon the brothers, abandon the army, it's like the people that are left are now going to receive the full force of the attack because the archers haven't done their jobs. That's a scary, scary picture here. And it's not that they weren't trained. It's not that they weren't equipped. So what is it that happened that makes these guys, in the moment where it counts, in the moment that they've been training for and equipped for, what is it that makes them turn back? That's a question I want to ask for myself, for our church, for the wider church as a whole. What is it that would make a whole section of the believing community say, we're out, in the moment where everyone else needed them most, in the moment where it counts, in the moment that they had been training for? And I want to ask us, in all humility, but with all boldness as well, are we going to tell ourselves that that's other people? That won't be me. Or are we going to receive this morning as, well, it might, I could potentially be in that. And I had better work my way back through this episode to figure out where did these guys start to make sure I'm not following the same patterns. Make sense? Preaching to myself just as much as us. Like I told you, I memorized these verses this summer because there's something here I need. Right? Someone's calling me. That's awkward. Florida. I think we'll ignore that. Okay. Back to it. The Ephraimite archers turned back on the day of battle. You can go to the next slide. They did not keep God's covenant. They refused to live by his law. They refused to live the way God said to live. This is a little bit of a creative reading, but I bet it happened at just one spot. I bet there was something that happened in someone's life where they just felt like, I don't know if God and I are on the same page with this particular issue anymore. You know, everyone else in the world is doing this. They're probably right. I know God's going a different way. I see something different in the word, but I don't know. I'm feeling a little bit more torn these days. I'm rethinking these things. I don't know if I agree with everything that God said in his word anymore. And it starts just like that. Suddenly, there's this internal division inside us between who God is and what he says and what maybe we want, what we would prefer, and they stop agreeing with God. And all it does is it opens up just a little something. It's almost like the thin edge of a wedge. There's just a little something in there now. And gradually, over time, it goes a little deeper and a little deeper and a little deeper. I don't think most people walk away from God in one shot, all at once, 180 degrees in one swift motion. It's usually something small over time. A little compromise here where I feel like God's actually okay if I do this. Or I'm not so sure God's right about this. I know he said that, but I think really his heart is just, yeah. You know, and there's this slow process that starts as a result of letting that in. I just finished sort of reading through the story section of the Old Testament. So right from Genesis all the way through Kings and Samuel, Kings and Chronicles, right? So you're in the narrative most of the time, right? And particularly in those stories about the kings of Israel, and you notice how they're always letting idols come back, right? And God considers it adultery, right? Because his people are married to him. It's a covenant relationship, hence covenant up here. But so from God's perspective, it's like they abandoned God. But I think from the human perspective, it's not that they think we are abandoning God. They more seem to say, we're going to add other things into this relationship. Now, God considers that adultery and abandonment, but the people tend to simply add. So they continue to worship God. The temple continues to function. The priests continue to do their things. They're receiving sacrifices from people, but then the people are also adding other things, other gods. Idolatry is not actually so often. It's either God or an idol. It's often God and an idol. And you see this happen again and again and again through those stories. The people just start adding to their lives. Well, yeah, we're the people of God. We're part of the covenant. We've got the law. We've got the temple. We got the sacrifices. We've gone under the knife. That's the circumcision thing, right? We're part of the covenant community. And we just... Yeah, but these other people, they're doing this. We're just going to add that in. And you see it happen again and again and again. They add. And it ends up being the thin edge of the wedge. And it's a refusal to live the way that God actually said to live, which is we are in an exclusive relationship. This is not an open marriage. There's no such thing. But the people thought that they did. They had that opportunity and they didn't. But how did they get there? So the archers turned back on the day of battle. Why? Well, they refused. Well, why did that happen? Would you go to the next one, please? They forgot what he had done, the wondrous works he had shown them. They forgot. How did it start? Where did it start? These guys who walk away in the moment it counts most, the archers who have been trained for this specific moment, equipped for this specific moment, how did it start? Well, something crept in, they added something, and it distracted them, and they forgot. They forgot. How do most people forget? We just get busy, right? It's the easiest way to forget. Just get really busy. How's your fall look? Anyone have a slow fall coming up? Two of you have a slow fall. You're starting there's no way, liar. Fall ramps up, right? Kids' activities start up again. Maybe your small group starts up again. Your class starts up again. The stuff that took a break for the summer is resuming, right? Falls tend to be busy. The easiest way to forget what God is saying to you, the easiest way to forget what God has done is just get busy. And while you get busy, you get distracted. And what is the other main way that we forget? We simply forget what God has said to us and what God has done to us when we don't build reminders into our lives. They're going to keep us grounded on this is who God is. This is who he says I am. This is what he has done in my life. This is what he has called me to. If we don't build practices that remind us of who we are, of who he is, of who we are, of what he is saying, of what he is doing, of where he is calling us, we'll just drift. We need people and we need practices. There are a lot more of us in recovery than are in 12-step programs, okay? So, but for those of you in particular who are in 12-step programs, I have talked to so many people who have relapsed, and when they say they relapsed, their explanation for the relapse is, I stopped going to meetings. I stopped going to my AA meeting. I stopped going to the NA meeting. Oh, I just started attending online, which is pseudo-meeting, right? And then, which then becomes no meeting, right? But what's a meeting? Like, think about that. What's an AA meeting? It's something that reinforces an identity. It's a practice that you put into place. It's a group of people that you bring together. And no wonder relapse happens when people stop going to meetings, right? So parallel learning here for those not in 12-step programs. Do you have meetings in your lives that are reminding you, this is who I am, this is what I'm trained for, this is what God's called me to? These are the important things. These are my protections to make sure that I don't go back to whatever I have left. Black sheep I once was, but I am no more, thank God. But I could very well slip back into that. You know, one of the guys that used to work here used to describe recovery, the ongoing life of recovery, as walking up the downward escalator. It takes ongoing, regular, intentional movement to stay going even in the same place, let alone moving up. We need it. But again, that's not just for recovery, that's for all of us, right? Your walk with God is walking up the downward escalator, right? If we stay still, we regress. Do you have reminders in your lives? In some ways, this message is building on last week's. So if you weren't here last week, go back and listen to last week's. But f- for those who weren't here, I told a longer story about a guy named David Wilkerson who got to a point of realizing this television in my life has become an idol and it's consuming something it shouldn't consume, and had the thought, like, what would happen if I got rid of my TV and spent the same amount of time seeking God each day? And he did, and it transformed not only his life, it transformed the world, really, in multiple ways. But what did he do? He replaced one habit and one practice with another one, right? Ones that reinforced who he is. As he talked about spending time in scripture and learning to petition God, to ask God for his request, but then also simply to thank God, also just to worship God, also just time in scripture seeking him for who he is. It created a new identity in him, but it's a practice that he put in place by replacing something else. Do you have practices in your life that are reminding you of who you are and of who God is? I heard another story this past week of a guy who was struggling with sexual purity, and he's a high school student. And after making a confession, a really daring and bold and brave, courageous confession to a whole bunch of people, decided, I need more than simply making a confession and bringing things into light. I need a practice that's going to reinforce who I am. And he decided, I'm going to wear a white t-shirt to school every day. He wore a white t-shirt to school every single day at a public high school. Now think about that. Just walk through what high school is like. First day, it's cool. Second day, oh, you're wearing the same thing. Third day, people are starting to ask. And now he has an opportunity to reinforce, am I going to believe this? Am I going to actually say why and declare who I am and talk about what God is doing in my life? And he did. And it was that that broke the addictions. It was that that reinforced a new identity. You know, will you do something like that? Will you actually drill down and say, I need this change in my life, and I'm going to make sure that it happens because I'm going to guard this new identity. I'm going to guard the work that God is doing in my life with something that's going to remind me of who I am and who he is and make it intentional. Maybe God called you to be a healer, and every single day you hold up your hands before God. This is my practice of reminding you of who I am and reminding myself of who I am. You say these are healing hands. Do your healing work through me. Maybe you go to school, whether as a teacher or a volunteer or a parent or a student, and you decide, no, God called me to be a light here. I will circle this school once or twice in prayer every single day before I go in there. And that will be the practice that reinforces who I am to make sure that I'm not going to become an Ephraimite archer who turns back on the day of battle. I will train, and I will remind myself day by day of who I am and what I am called to. Maybe it's making a regular confession to someone. I think I've told you this before, but at one point God said to me, you're not sweet enough. You're going to eat honey every single day. And it's true, I wasn't. I probably need to do it again, to be really honest. I've been through a season recently of not being very sweet. And it was a reminder day by day, right? But it's a practice. What are some simple practices that you can put in place to remind you, this is what God's saying to me? I'm going to remind myself, I'm going to steward it rather than just hoping I remember every single day. Do you trust your own memory for any other important things? I do not trust my memory for anything important, right? I put it in my calendar, and then I put alerts on that to make sure that my phone reminds me that this is coming up, right? Do you actually have a to-do list and some things on your to-do list that actually pop up every day, say, memorize my scripture verses today? Go for a prayer walk. Write down your list of confessions. Whatever it is, whatever God's putting his finger on. You know, last week, one of the things that God's sort of new practice, or one I'm resuming again, is I'm giving up morning coffee and going for prayer walks. Because I need one more reminder of, as for me and my house, right? And that's what last week was about. As for me and my house, right? I will take responsibility for what God has entrusted to me but I'm going to put things in place that are going to remind me of my commitment and my responsibility so that I don't become an Ephraimite archer who turns back on the day of battle. Okay? So to remind you of last week's message, and I had a number of people say that was really helpful or something along those lines, God seemed to speak, which is awesome. Praise God. What have you done with it since then? Did we put a step in place between then and now? Or did first week of school get really busy? First week of school got really busy, right? Right? So I, like I said, I'm preaching to myself here. But are we going to put things in place now? Or are we just going to, you know, listen and say, that was a great story. And I can hear God in that, but then not steward the gift that he gives us. In a word from him. I've heard a number of people share recently that, you know, Nick, a couple of weeks ago, shared a really courageous testimony. He did. And kudos to him. But you know what the more courageous thing about what Nick did was? Nick put a whole bunch of things in place, people and practices, to make sure that he guards the gains that he has received from God in these last number of weeks and months. And I think that is even more admirable than sharing a brave testimony, is making honest confession to other people and saying, I need you in my life and I need your help. Walk alongside me, right? Do you have people like that? Do you have the people and the practices that are going to remind you of who you are and what God is doing? You know, we have this, as for me and my house, right? I'm going to take responsibility for what God has called me to. And maybe for you, you don't really have a house. You've got your own circle, your bubble. And you take full responsibility for what you got there. Right? And you ask God honestly, Lord, what's your version of my white t-shirt? Or what's my version of that white t-shirt thing? Right? Or what's the TV I'm going to give up? Or what's the honey I'm going to eat once a day? Or what are the things that God are going to help me just remember you because they forgot. This episode started by forgetting something so simple. They just forgot. They just got busy, right? Just got a little distracted, as we all do, right? So are there people and are there things that are going to help us go in a different direction? And if you resonate with the as for me and my house, you'll know that you're being responsible with it if you've got some of those things in place. If you got some people and some conversations that you're having about, here's what we're going to put in place to make sure we guard our hearts, guard the gains that God is giving us. So this is my encouragement to us, friends. We're at the beginning of a new season, right? We step into fall. It's got its busyness and its transitions and it's just differences of routine. So I encourage you to spend some time asking God, I don't need Ben's plan. I don't need anyone else's plan in this room. What do you have for me to make sure that I can remember what I need to remember? And Lord, as we're talking together, are there some areas where I'm not really in full agreement with you right now? I got to be honest with you about that. And then can you help me work through this? And while you help me work through it at the intellectual level, I surrender my heart to you. I will serve you. I will go your way regardless. And I'll heed the warnings. Right? If we're doing those things, I think we're more likely to be people who will not turn back in the day of battle. And we all have a next step we can take. But just think for a moment. Just imagine with me for a moment. What if every single one of us this week identified one thing God wanted us to do this week to respond to whatever he is saying to us. What What would your life look like in 2 months? What would our church look like in 2 months if we all simply surrendered and said yes and took just the next step? I think that's an awesome thought. Maybe we start fasting. We already fast every Thursday. Maybe fasting is one of the things that you start to build into your life to remind you, no, what I want does not matter as much as what God is offering. Let me just allow you a moment simply to process with the Lord. So feel free to just close your eyes and, Lord, we just wait on you. We've seen a picture of what we don't want to become. And in Joshua, we see a picture of what we do want to become. As for me and my house, whatever other options there are, we're going God's way. But Lord, would you guide us now in this moment to say, having made that commitment to you, what's our next step in walking it out? Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. I really encourage you, as he identifies a next step, tell someone else. And let me encourage you further. Tell someone else, someone who isn't. It was a pastor quite a number of years ago who said really honestly, there are two people who can't hold me accountable, God and my wife, because I'm used to disappointing both, right? Right? So like, reach out to someone else. Tell your spouse as well. But someone else as well. Tell God, but someone else as well. Let's journey together, right? Shoot someone else here a text just to say, I got a next step. Let's have coffee. We can talk. Like, let's just talk, right? Start those conversations, right? But invite other people into it. There, you have amazing resources in one another, right? I mean that. Look across the aisle. Don't just look forward, right? You have amazing resources in this room. Right? God is at work in your life, and he at your life, and you two need to talk, right? Like that's the way this works. And God is for you. Let me just remind you once again, God is for you. This is not finger wagging. This is God encouraging you. Hey, I put some of these warnings here, and I draw out a little bit of the, I tell the story backwards a little bit, so that you can see some of the connections, so that my people can avoid pain, right? Let's avoid some pain together. And even more than that, let's go deeper with God, right? He's so deeply honored when we just say yes. Lord Jesus Christ, we love you. Thank you for the encouragement that you offer us. Thank you that you are a God who is for us and is not against us. Thank you that we were once black sheep and you took up our cause. And we're not the same because of who you are and what you've done. And yet there are still things that linger in our lives. And so, Lord, would you make us faithful where you're speaking to us now about call this person, make this confession, add this good practice into your life. It'll help. It's for me. Lord, I pray that we would do that. I pray that we would trust you in it. I pray that we would see community built as community leans on one another the way that you designed us to. Thank you that so many of the answers are already in this room, not only because you are here, but because you put the help in other people. So Lord, would you grant us the humility to have those conversations? Would you grant us the courage to have those conversations? And would you grant us the determination to say, as for me and my people, my circle, we will go God's way, God and God alone. Make us faithful. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue to worship. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy. Sounds pretty counterintuitive if we're really honest, right? But often God's ways are counterintuitive, and often it doesn't always make sense what he says when he's speaking go do this. It wouldn't make necessarily a lot of sense to think. You wouldn't draw the line between my life will be free of sexual sin if I wear a white t-shirt, or if I circle a school, I'll see something happen. Like, sometimes God speaks and you're like, I don't see how this is going to connect the dots, but I would really encourage you, whatever he has said to you or is putting on your heart now, trust him, even if it seems counterintuitive, and we will see the results. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace and give you more of himself, and may he carry you through this week. Thanks for being here. Love to chat or pray if you want it. We could use some help with the chairs. Blessings on you. Enjoy some coffee. We've got lots of time.